Blog Talk Radio.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts. And then you will...
You know, I finally found a beer I can respect. Light beer from Miller. It tastes great. But what I really like is it's less filling. Light has one-third less calories than their regular beer. I tell you, I gotta watch myself. This is a tough place. Well, this place is so tough, the hat checker's name is Dominic. In a place like this, I gotta move fast. I can't afford to get filled up. I tell you, I don't get no respect.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
Hey, Rock fans, Mark Gutscott from Trickster, hanging out with my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom right here. Oh, hey, Rockin' Sports, you listen, crank it up.
Hi, this is Vinny Appice, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, this is Brian Damage from Kicks and Rhino Bucket, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, guys, this is Simon from Pressure, and you're watching Hard Rockin' Sports, and this is our brand new video for the song Barbed Wire Love. It's a song about wanting and yearning for something or someone that, yeah, well, considered forbidden. Will you just look, or do you need some barbed wire love to hurt you? Do you want to feel the love that tears through your soul and flesh and enjoy the pain, or will you just look and fantasize from a distance? Here is Barbed Wire Love.
We had such a good life, but I want excitement, and that was years ago with you. You know that I've seen her walking in the Tikis, moving like a girl could do. Yeah, this is what I think is missing, and I do remember you used to move like her. Yeah, my mind, you don't know what I see. Yeah, it's time to realize in mine really had a good time. Will, what could go wrong? Barbed wire love is what I need. Don't you see? Barbed wire love, that's what I want to be. Barbed wire love, I need a brain full in time. Barbed wire love, we'll be right back.
in our big house, but at night I sleep alone. All night you say I'm locked away, don't know what you're up to, as if I would care. In my mind you don't know what I see. Anytime you realize in my mind, really had a good time, well, what's in the wrong? Am I alone?
Jeff and Tom.
Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hard Rockin'
yes,
Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on Hard Rockin' Sports.
I can say right now, I can say, this is Joe Satriani. You are listening to Hard Rockin' Sports Radio with Tommy and Jeff. Go Jets!
Yeehaw! This is Jimbo Wallace from Reverend Horton Heat. You're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Rock on.
Hey, everybody. This is Kasim Sultan, a very, very famous bass player. And you are listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Tommy Florio and Jeff Talinsky.
Great to be here with what I've been told is the best hard rock and sports radio show in the world.
Ah, Plays, you know, I liked you before. I love you now.
Hi, this is Jason Butler, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Hold on. Oops. Where am I? Hold on a second. And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. This is your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And you saw that video. That was the new one, Follow By Your Love, from our friends Pressure. I love that band. Love those people. Those guys are great. And the whole band. And I want to thank Sam Bone for getting that all set up, including the opening by Simon. So I really want to thank. I hope you guys will support Pressure. They've been on the show numerous times. They've done live shows, Christmas shows. They've done it all for us. And we really do love that band and appreciate them coming on and being part of our show each week, all the time. So thank you to Pressure and Sam Bone and everybody over there. Thank you for all of that. Hey, Michael, what's up, buddy? How are you? Thanks, guys. I hope you guys had a great week. It's been a tough week here at the Hard Rocket Sports Studios, and we're going to try to get through a bit of a show tonight and see how we do. But lots are going on in the Hard Rocket Sports world. Some good, some not so good. So I hope you guys have a little patience. It's going to be a little bit of a tough night. It might not last that long, but we'll see how it plays out. I'm going to get Jeff on in a second, get off the way we always do. But in the meantime, don't forget this Saturday, a special show for the Sunday Audible show. This Saturday, 9 a.m., will be our pre-draft show for the Sunday Audible. Jeff, John Marhefka, and myself will get together this Saturday, and we'll preview next Thursday's NFL draft, which will be a special edition of the Sunday Audible on Thursday night and replacing the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So we look forward to that. Thanks to John and Jeff for we'll get together next Thursday, and we'll bring you a good part of the first round. We'll break it all down for you. But start with this Saturday. We'll get our mock drafts. We'll run through some of the players, some of the big off-season moves. So look for this Saturday morning. Get up, have a cup of coffee, and listen to our analysis of the NFL draft right on the Sunday Audible on these channels. And, of course, next Thursday night, 7 o'clock, watch us live for 3 hours doing the NFL draft. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. This is our show, Hard Rockin' Sports, number 536. Just for the record, on our anniversary, which is the 27th, we'll be doing a show the 28th. But our anniversary, 8 years as of July 27th. So our 550th show will be shown Thursday, July 28th, right here. Hopefully we'll get to plan something big, so stick around for more information on that. But for now, stay tuned for tonight's show and the next couple of weeks. We got some big shows for you. So without further ado, let's get my partner in crime, my best bud for 40 years, and the backbone of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, and certainly the sexiest man on his side of the screen, even if he is a Jet fan, Mr. Jeff Towinski. Jefe.
What's up, man?
Good, man. Just trying to get a nut.
I hear you.
So let's put you on the other side of the screen. I like you on that side. Jeff, let's start the show off the right way. I don't know how long this show will last tonight, but while it does, Jeff, how was your week?
I lived.
It's not like my week.
I'm still in Facebook jail.
We have a long way to go. Can we do any sort of an appeal? Can we hire an attorney? Can we dig up Johnny Cochran?
Fuck them. How's that?
This will not get you time served, my friend.
What's that?
This will not get you points off your suspension. My talking this.
Fucking lick my balloon now, fucks. I'm trying to see if I can tell you how many more days. Mm-hmm. And 22 more days.
Wow.
22 more days.
Wow. That's not going to end anytime soon, Jeff.
No, don't seem to.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon, though.
Wow. So,
all right.
Well, in the meantime, we got plenty to talk about tonight. Let's see. Hold on. I got to make a note here for myself on something. Hold on. Okay. So, Jeff, we got some stuff to talk about tonight. I got the return. First off, we've got the return of the Jeff. Can you identify the singer?
I'm looking forward to that.
I do have that. We'll get to that no matter what time the show ends tonight. I got a couple of funny ones. I think they're funny ones. We're going to do the Mount Rushmore of WWF jobbers.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
I think I have
quite a few candidates.
Okay, yeah, and I think that's the question. I think I have a few candidates. My first three, I think, to me were simple. After that, there's a whole bunch that I could probably go with, but I think I went with the funniest name or the – my favorite name in the WWF, so I think that's how I determined number four. So we'll get to that. I'm sure we can throw a bunch of names around. We're going to talk a little bit about the Yankees, the Mets. We got Nets. We got a little football. I want to lead with the football tonight. I want to talk about Uncle Ted. Ted Nugent, Jeff, has a theory about COVID, which I'm sure we'll chime in on for that. We got USFL football, and the Mets finally put up a statue for Tom Seaver. So let's see if we run through all of these, have some fun, put a little laughter into my week that could certainly use it. So, okay, Jeff, I think I want to start off with something that should be near and dear to your heart, if you don't mind. I don't see my dad up yet. I don't know if he's calling in tonight. I know him and my mom had some people over today, so we may not be hearing from Pops. We'll see how that works out. Jeff, so Deebo Samuel in what seems to be turning into a thing around the sports world, especially in basketball, is now infiltrating the football world. Deebo Samuel has come out and said he does not want to play for the San Francisco 49ers and wants to be traded.
Yes, all because they did not bend over backwards and pay him yet, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm assuming there is some talk that it's tax-related, that the taxes in California are so high, he's taking a beating. I've heard a couple of people have rumors that it's he's not happy with the quarterback situation. He thinks he's going to be held back. I think it's his 3 years, 4 years in this league. I think he's still got a little time on his contract, if I'm not mistaken. No, next year he's a free agent. Next year is his free agent year.
Well, restricted free agent, I would imagine, right?
I have to look all that up. I don't know if it's his fourth year and all that, but, you know, needless to say, he's coming due in the near future. But I'm not a big fan of these guys not fulfilling their contracts. Now, we've already had Tyreek Hill demand basically a trade, get traded out of there. Davante Adams got traded. I don't know if that was much of a demand.
Was it a demand or if it wasn't a demand, wasn't he? He's been in the league for a while, so he's a little bit older than some of these guys.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No,
he could be on his second contract as it is.
I believe so. Yes, I'd almost believe so. But yeah, I think this is the most vocal of the "I want out," you know, trade me things. And I understand the contracts favor the owners in the NFL. I understand these guys want to get paid, and I'm for capitalism. But I know there's rumors of Kyler Murray is about to warm this up. I've heard those rumors about Lamar Jackson, even though he came out and said that's not true. I'm just not a fan. If these guys have contracts, you sign them to honor the contract.
You know what? There is such a thing as outplaying the contract. I could see if you sign the contract,
agreed,
you make it $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you're getting 1,700 yards and 10 touchdowns for the last 3 years. And
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you want to renegotiate your deal. That I could see. You know, in the NFL, one injury and that could be it. Your career could change.
Sure.
But how often does a devastating injury happen that these guys actually have to worry about it? Because if you think of the amount of plays versus the amount of players and all of that other silly stuff,
yeah,
you find out that most of these guys play relatively healthy and play long careers. I know they say there's such a thing as these guys playing 3-4 years and that's it. Well, that's because there's so many people that try to come into the NFL that water that statistic down. Like, who was the bagging groceries last week in ShopRite? He comes in for a tryout, stays 2-3 weeks, and then that's it. The dream is over.
Right.
So you know the situation.
Absolutely.
But these guys, I agree with you a lot what you said about, you know, this is the contract that you signed.
Yeah.
You can't just walk in the door and make $25 million a year. Just because this guy over here is getting paid this year doesn't mean that you're going to get paid this year. And sometimes it's better that you wait, because just because he's getting $25 million a year, maybe next year you go up. Now you're going to be making $35 million a year.
You see the way the contracts, especially for receivers, are skyrocketing now.
I know. I just don't understand. If I was a receiver and I was making $3 million a year, I'd be like, yeah, I want to get paid. But the last thing I would do is just say that, you know what, I'm sitting out until I get paid.
Yeah.
You know, I want to renegotiate my deal. And you better have a body of work behind you. You can't just turn around and tell them that you're going to renegotiate because everybody else is making money. You better be able to back it up.
Yeah, no, agreed. See, now, I do believe that the problem with a lot of the players in this league and contracts and getting more money is directly tied to the fact that teams are, I want to say it, overpaying quarterbacks. You know, when you're paying your quarterbacks on these teams a quarter or one-fifth of the entire budget of your team, and then you're trying to fit all these other guys in there who rightfully deserve the money. Guys, you know, listen, there's no doubt Deebo Samuel was a great player last year and deserves to make his money. But when you're paying the quarterbacks of these teams $40 million of $200 million, Jeff, it doesn't leave a lot of money to pay everybody else.
No, Tom, it doesn't. But you've got to remember, there's such a I don't even know what phrase to even use at this point in time. There's such a rush on getting, and I don't mean rush like as you're like, ooh, I'm talking a rush is like you got to grab whoever it is.
Yep.
And hope that you grab the right one, that you got the best quarterback in the league or the next up-and-coming quarterback.
Absolutely, 100%, yep.
That's what I meant by rush.
No, I agree.
It's insane that they'll pay whatever it takes. So it's like, all right, you're giving Mahomes $35 million a year for, just to throw a number
sure.
of name out there, all right? But now this guy here, they said in high school that he was going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the world in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to have to – I got him. I got to make sure that I have him and I'm keeping him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give this guy, you know, $40 million a year. Meanwhile, he's only played – look at Brock Osweiler and the money that he made.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He only played a few games.
Sure. Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane. But if you catch lightning in a bottle.
Absolutely.
And now you – it seems to be because it's a passing league, and we were wrong about this one, I don't see us ever becoming a rushing league again because now they're going to make certain positions – you're going to need a left tackle, a quarterback, a wide receiver. That's about it on offense. A cornerback and an edge rusher on defense.
That's what it's turned into.
You fill out those positions with premium names.
And premium money. Yep.
Well, of course, premium money. So it doesn't matter what you're going to pay your center or your guard.
No, you're right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Just said you're right.
And even worse, here's something that we've never mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the kids that are playing football right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a Pop Warner, high school, whatever it is, there's going to be certain positions that your kid is not going to want to go out to play.
Oh, absolutely right.
So now your kid is never going to want to be a center. Your kid is never going to be want to be a guard or a linebacker or a running back. And that may be the position that's suited best for him at the time and moment in time right now. So now Junior may think that he's going to be a wide receiver, but he runs the 40 in 3 days, never mind, you know, 4 point whatever, and he can't catch the ball, but he thinks he can. And then he goes out for it and he finds out he ain't making it and that's it. But he would have been a real good guard.
Right.
And it's, you know, possibly ruining careers as this goes on.
No, I think, Jeff, it's a great point. I don't know, you know, again, I think you're right, Pete. What you're going to see is a big disparity, if it's not already there, between the top guys on the team, the quarterback, the left tackle, like you said, the corner, your edge rusher are going to be making X at a stratosphere, and then you're going to see a whole bunch of guys at league minimums and, you know, barely making over the league minimum because you're just not going to, you know, if you're paying your quarterback $50 million and then you're going to pay your best receiver $15 to $20 million, then you're going to pay your edge rusher $20 million. You know, there's $90 million of $100 million, and you still got to put 40, you know, 50 something guys back still on the field with you.
There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be interchangeable.
Yeah, and that's why the rosters turn over every 4 years because teams don't want to give these guys the second contract. They want them. Exactly right. So you can't build that team for the long term. You can't build this team for long because the money is so top heavy that you can't afford. Now, again, you're starting to see guys move plays, but the problem is, so Tyreek Hill wanted big money from the Chiefs. They don't want to give it to him, so the Dolphins are going to give it to him. You know, so what's that mean? So that means that the Chiefs are going to draft a guy who they hope is going to be the next receiver for 4 years, and then after 4 years, he's going to go someplace else that needs one receiver. It's just an endless cycle, and the problem is, you really get it to that point where you're rooting for the sweater and not the players because most of the guys, other than your quarterback, other than your edge rusher, aren't going to be there after 4 or 5 years.
Well, how about this, Tom? You know, you say everything you just said is completely true, all right? But take a team like the Chiefs where Tyreek Hill was a big, big part of that offense.
Yep.
Now he's not there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't care how great Patrick Mahomes is. He had a connection with Hill. Who's the next guy he's getting connection with?
Yeah.
Is he going to have a connection with anybody?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you expect this guy to go out and play and have a successful career and everything? And it just isn't going to work you know, it's just, I don't know.
I got you saying, I get it. You want to be able to, if you're, see, and I know how you and John feel about the Brady and the Patriots, but if you look at it, that only worked, okay, because Tom Brady took a lot less money to play there so they could take the money and spread it out and bring in good players. And if you look around the league, how many teams have more than 1 or 2 years of sustained success?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but with Tom Brady was guilt. Was guilt being the biggest bitch in the NFL and crying about everything and
with seven rings on his finger. That's
listen. That's you know, he's only one of a team. Remember
no,
that.
I agree, but if Tom Brady gets paid the way Tom Brady deserved to get paid, they don't have the money to bring in the people that they need to bring in each year to make it work. If Tom Brady's not making only $8, 9, 10, 12 million and he's trying to put 40 in his pocket, you know, they can't spend. So you got to give him a little credit for at least saying, I'm not a pig. I want to win more than I want to put the money in my pocket.
Tom, I hate Tom Brady. I wouldn't give him credit for that. I get extra air.
I get it. Hard Rock and Sports.
Only for the opening drive. I hope he makes it through camp and everything else. Mm-hmm. I hope the opening drive he takes a helmet to the knee and his fucking kneecap pops off.
Could happen. Could definitely happen, Jeff. Could definitely happen.
Hope.
Well, before we get up to Deebo Samuel thing, I do want to bring up that the big, big hot rumor is that Deebo, the Jets are going to go full force and try to bring Deebo in to New York. And the rumor is that they're dangling the number 10 pick in the draft, the 10th pick of the first round, to get him. Now, first thing I got to ask the question is, is Deebo Samuel worth the number 10 pick of the first round? Could you find a player that good at the number 10? So is it worth it for the Jets to make that move? And the big question is, have the Jets done enough to entice a big-name player to come here? So answer all of that, Jeff.
I don't know. One, I myself would rather see DK Metcalf.
Okay, but that might not be a – but let's not bring the DK in yet. We know that Debo's out there. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize because Debo's not available yet. The 49ers have said they won't trade him. So go ahead. I apologize. Go back to your theory. I apologize.
I'm just saying that I know more about DK Metcalf than Deebo Samuel, to be honest.
Okay.
He's a name that just came to me last season. So
right.
I've heard the name. I know what he's capable of, but I don't know him as well as DK Metcalf.
Okay.
But I'm just saying I myself would rather have Metcalf than Samuel. That's one thing.
Okay.
Second of all, the Jets, over all of this time with free agency and everything else and with everything they've been doing, they've never got the big name. They need a big name. All right? They always got guys that are good.
Yeah.
But not great. They need a name. All right, because they don't have a name right now. They don't have a name.
Is that to entice other big free agents to come here? Or
honestly, I don't think you're going to entice many free agents to come here because with the money that they're going to be paying some of these free agents, I don't think that they're going to get too many that are going to come here because you're not going to be able to pay the team like we were just talking about a few minutes early. But if you get a Deebo Samuel, I think you're also showing the fan base – that, you know, we're here, we're going for this now.
Yep.
We mean this. We've got enough people via the draft. We're going to start drafting, extra bodies and whatever and see what we can do and then take it from there. Let me ask you this, okay,
to answer your question,
who in the draft, this year's draft, at number 10, would you say is an immediate contributor on an NFL level? You're going to take the kid from Ohio State, you're going to take the kid from USC, or maybe the kid that has half a knee from Alabama. You know, think about that. This guy is a proven commodity in the NFL. If you could get him for the number 10 pick and maybe a third or fourth rounder, because they have extra picks, I think it's something that you at least got to go throw the line in the water and see what's going on, because if not, you could get a decent player in number 10, yeah, but he's not going to have the same immediate impact. And somebody like that is going to make your quarterback, your second-round pick last year, a lot better this year than last year. You know,
no,
I really think if they come out firing on all cylinders, this is going to be a better than 500 team. I'm not saying the playoffs or whatever, but they're going to shock a lot of people. And they're just going to be a couple pieces short of taking the next step.
You know, Jeff, you're making 100% sense. I would tell you that anytime I can get a veteran guy at a reasonable rate, at least a reasonable rate, something I can afford, I would make that move because, you know, and this is not to pick on the Jets, but a couple of years ago, I think they took Mims somewhere around 10. And
no,
that
second rounder.
Was the second round? Okay. So, oh, that's right. Here's why. Everybody thought, wow, what a great job the Jets did. You know, they got a sleeper in the second round, and it hasn't worked out. So, to me, the draft.
No, to Mims' credit,
yeah.
They didn't put him on the fucking field.
Well, here's the rumor is, and I kind of heard it today, and I looked it up. The rumor is, or more than a rumor, is that he has not learned the playbook enough to warrant being on the field enough. They can't put him out there because he just doesn't know the plays well enough. That's the rumor, and I heard it on the radio today on a couple of shows. Because one show followed the other, and they both talked about it. And then I looked it up, and I found some articles that say they're almost the same thing. So I don't know if that's true or not. Who knows? Bottom line is,
it takes almost so long to say it, then.
I don't know. Again, you know, if you're the Jets, you don't want to say it because at some point you may have to try to trade the guy. And if you're putting out the rumor yourself that the guy just refuses or can't learn the playbook, you're not going to get very much money for very much in the way of picks or commodities for it. So.
You're not, but you want to know something? If the guy was that good of a piece,
yeah.
Then what you're going to do is you're going to turn around and do the old New York shit and be like, listen, take 10 yards, see the guy with the red jacket, run at the guy on the sideline at the red jacket.
Yeah.
The ball will be there. All you got to do is catch it. So what you're telling me is that the guy is stupid and he can't learn and he has no hands. Because if he was able to do it, you're going to turn around and make a play work for the guy.
He's
not major of a contributor.
I agree with you. Whatever the reason why, the bottom line, I was using Mims as an example because, you know, the draft.
They have to work with.
Well, it's just that the Jets. The draft is a crapshoot. So if I could take the number 7 pick in the draft, the number 10 pick in the draft, and turn it into a proven commodity that I can afford for the next 3, 4, 5 years, then I say you do it because you know how many guys get drafted in the first round actually turn into what they're supposed to be. It you know the truth is very few.
Yeah, but you know you also got to think of it this way too, Tom. You right now, as of right now, as we sit here, the Jets traded Adams.
Yep.
Okay. For 2 number 1 picks.
Okay.
Right. So now, if you were to take that Seattle pick, which is number 10, I believe they have the 10th pick
yeah.
from Seattle.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Fourth pick is theirs.
Yep.
You trade that number 10 pick and you get Deebo Samuel. You just traded Jamal Adams for a number 1 pick and Deebo Samuel.
That's still a good. Yeah, it's still a good move.
Well, it's a good move. It's a great move.
Yeah.
Because look what Adams is doing. He's not
giving
up to the pick, but 2.
I agree with you. So to me, you know, when I first heard it today and somebody said, well, I would give them the number 10 pick in the draft. I'm like, what are you, crazy? And then I thought about it. You know what? It ain't stupid because I don't know who I'm going to get at number 10. It could be the second best receiver in the draft. It could be the first best receiver in the draft. And he may be a bust. I know Deebo Samuel, at least as a 49er, is a good player. He can play slot, he can play wide, he can play in the backfield. You know, there's a guy who can make an impact. Now, he may get to the Jets and they don't use him properly and it doesn't work, but to me, it's more of a guarantee than picking somebody to draft. I mean, there's tons of guys in the top 10 over the last 40 years who've just not panned out. So I'm not against the Jets making the move. I think if they could obviously, Jeff, Metcalf's probably the better player. Samuel probably does more things, but you know, either one, if you could get either one of them for just the number 10 pick in the draft and you could control them for a couple of years, I think it's a no-brainer.
How about this, Tom? Okay, now we got to look at the both sides of the coin. You know, I like to say that all the time.
Sure.
All right, when you're talking about Samuel, you're talking about a receiver that lines up inside, outside, slot,
yep.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guy that also plays running back.
Yep.
All right, you're limiting. Shelf life. any given moment, this guy could end up getting destroyed.
Of course.
And have a leg twist around three times on him.
Sure.
Now, just like how we talked about some of these quarterbacks that are runners,
mm-hmm.
especially like Kyler Murray, what's his face in Denver right now, Russell Wilson,
mm-hmm.
RG3, like the way he was.
Right, yeah. Lamar Jackson,
Lamar Jackson, you know, sometimes these guys get hurt and they never play again. So, you know, you have to think and you have to realize that, you know, you get the wrong person, the wrong play, and that's it. Your window, your plan is up in smoke and out the window.
Yeah.
You know, not often do you see a wide receiver doubling up as a running back. There's reasons for that. You know, they're usually some of the fastest people on the field.
Yep.
But, you know, you don't want to be using them like, what did he score, like 10 touchdowns on the ground last year?
Yeah, he had a great season, good playoffs,
Insane number, you know. Sooner or later, you got to be careful with that, you know.
Yeah.
So I understand you can't wrap them up in bubble wrap either.
Exactly, yeah.
I understand that. But, you know, you have to be smart and you have to think to yourself, you know, this is – we paid a lot of it for this guy.
Yeah.
We can't have him go down in flames 1-2-3 either. That's just not – you don't want that to happen.
Let me give you his stats for the year. How's that? You want to get his stats?
Yeah, go ahead.
77 catches. He played in 16 games, started 15 of them. 77 catches, 1,400 yards, six touchdowns. I think his longest touchdown was 83 yards. Rushing, he had 60 rushes for 365 yards, 8 touchdowns. Along of 49. So he scored 14 touchdowns total for the year. He had 1,700, almost 1,800 yards of total yardage for the season. So I would say the guy, you know, and he's played 15 games, 7 games in the shortened season, and 16 games last year. So the guy stays healthy, and he contributes.
He's healthy. You know, he's in year number 4 now. Let's see what happens.
And, by the way, the first day he had 51 plays for a first down, 72 plays for a first down through the season, running and passing. I'm sorry, running and catching. So,
yeah, listen, it's quite evident that he's a great, great player.
Yep.
And, you know, I just don't like the idea of him moving around that much. You know, I'm kind of a, I don't want to say realist, but let's be real for a minute. You're definitely putting the guy in the possibility of getting...
Oh, sure. You're definitely putting him in more of a spot. Now, I'll even give you your boy DK Metcalf, who you're interested in. Now, DK Metcalf had 75 catches, 967 yards, 12 TDs. He only had one rushing and no TDs rushing. No first downs rushing. He had 48 first downs rushing. Now, he's been pretty consistent. 900 yards, 1,300 yards. And 12 yards. I'm sorry, 967 yards. So, you know, he's averaging probably 1,000 yards a season for 3 seasons.
Well, see, here's the thing I like about DK Metcalf.
Go ahead.
The times I've seen him play with Seattle, the guy's a burner.
Yep.
I feel the things that he does with the football after yards after catch, unbelievable. He was also playing with Russell Wilson.
Right.
So, you know, it has a lot to do with it. So whoever comes to the Jets, their production is going to dip a little bit because Zach Wilson, Saint Zach.
Saint Zach, if I will.
So were you just about to bless yourself?
Yeah, I was about to say, Saint Zach, I was going for it, yeah.
All right, so, you know, he's not there yet. So is their production going to drop and then are people going to turn around and say, well, look what we paid for. This guy isn't doing it, this, that, and the other thing. I don't know.
Let's play. If you're Deebo Samuel, right, Jeff, and you're 1 year away from your free agency, do you want to go to the Jets and St. Zach where you don't know what you're going to get your hands on for next year? Do you, if you're DK Metcalf and you're probably 2 years away, you know, do you want to go to the Jets and play with a kid who you don't know may not be, you know, it may be 2 or 3 years before he's fully there and you may your stats may take a suffer a bit. You know, that's the problem. Look at Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill revised his statement later, but his initial was go to the Jets. What, are you kidding me? I'm not picking on the Jets. I'm just saying there's maybe the interpretation or the impression based on the rookie quarterback's first year, you may scare away a lot of these guys from coming here.
You're not – the rookie quarterback is not what's scaring people away.
Okay.
That is the last thing under the sun that's scaring people away.
What's scaring people away?
If that was the case, any team that has a rookie quarterback is going to be looking to –
No, I'm saying both the Jets rookie quarterback. But go ahead. I got you.
I understand, but I'm just using –
Yeah, I got you.
Give me out. The excuse of the rookie quarterback are just – forget it. I don't go with that.
Yeah.
I think that the Jets and their overall track record for so many years has put a bad taste in some people's mouths.
Okay.
Where that they've never really had the big player. Who was the last big player that the Jets had? Curtis Martin?
Oh, man, you know what? That's a really good one right there.
Maybe Keyshawn?
Big name. I like to say Curtis because I think Curtis, well, obviously he's a Hall of Famer. Probably the best Jet, even though he's not a homegrown Jet, probably the best Jet of our generation.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, Lavernius Coles was a good Jet for a number of years when he left and came back.
I mean,
Jericho Cotchery was a good Jet for a while.
Yeah, I mean, look, Free McNeil was a good player. Wesley Walker, Al Toon. Yes.
Some of those guys are 40 years ago.
Oh, it's still our generation. I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. I'm
talking
modern.
Modern day.
Okay.
For lack of a better term.
90s forward type of thing?
Yeah. The Giants, they had Eli.
Mm-hmm.
They had Strahan.
Yep.
You know, they had a player that people looked up to. Somebody who wants to – what kid is telling their parents they want a fucking Jet jersey? And who do they want on that jersey under the Christmas tree?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
You need player. You need a player to see where you could be, not just to sell jerseys or whatever,
no,
but just to get people interested in the team and the game.
I agree.
Right now, I've watched a Jet game. I remember when Michael Vick was playing, and I know it's a number of years ago, and it was like every single time they had the ball, it's three and out, three and out, three and out. This was a team that just could not even begin to get a first down. Never mind put together a drive.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get a fucking first down.
Well.
And it was bad. It was bad. That was hard to watch. And you don't want to see that. You want a skilled, quality, skilled player that's going to help you eat up yards and you know, put the team on the map, so to speak.
I would totally agree. Again, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom talking here on a Thursday night. As we click closer to the NFL draft next Thursday night, we'll be doing it here with a special edition of the Sunday Audible show. When you tune in next Thursday night, you'll be seeing Jeff and I and our good buddy John Marhefka when we do the Sunday Audible show on a special night as we bring you the NFL draft, at least a good portion of the first round or top 10 at the very least. We'll see how late it goes. But I'm looking forward to doing that with Jeff and John and kicking off the Sunday Audible show, which, by the way, tune in this Saturday morning at 9 to the Sunday Audible, where Jeff, John, and myself break down the NFL draft and a little bit of free agency for about an hour this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on the Sunday Audible Hard Rockin' Sports Network.
Saturday, I got such a day Saturday.
Do you?
Holy
what's on, you? What's on your thing?
Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, what's Saturday night?
I'll be able to go to bed.
Oh, so you're saying you have a very busy day Saturday.
Yeah, it starts early. It starts at 9 o'clock.
Huh?
And it goes, I'm getting the shed tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's going to be an expensive long day. That's one thing.
Right.
Then after the shed, you know, I got to put stuff away, this, that, and the other thing. And then Saturday morning is the show. Then I got band practice on Saturday during the day. Then I got to come back and finish the backyard and put the stuff away. And then Sunday's work.
Wow.
All good fun, man.
Well, listen, it's nice to be busy. It's nice to get things accomplished. So, band practice mixed in, it can't hurt. So,
yeah.
And
I hear that.
Good bunch of guys. So, good for you. Saturday, I saw a lot of stuff going on here, but nothing nearly as fun as what you're going to be doing. So, good for you. Hey, guys, like I said, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom. Let's move on. You got anything else you want to add to the Deebo Samuel thing at all? I mean,
No, not right now, no.
Okay, so let's move on. Jeff, real quick, Baker Mayfield hasn't shown up to the voluntary OTAs. Doesn't seem like he's interested. At what point are the Browns forced to trade him? I mean, right now, his value can't be big. There's very few teams out there looking for a quarterback, at least a starting quarterback. You know, at what point do they either release him or trade him for a bag of footballs and some some dye for the field?
Tom, I don't know, man. And if I was Peter Mayfield, you know what? I'd show up there, and I would just tell him, say, listen, you know what? I don't want to hurt my trade value for you guys. I'm thinking of you guys.
Yeah.
So I was here for a number of years. I'm just going to go sit over there and get paid. And when you find somebody that wants to take me, let me know. And it'd be even better yet if he has a no trade clause so he could turn around and say, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there.
Hmm.
You know, because I do think eventually he will get traded. I think he's going to end up in Seattle myself.
I think that's the most logical place. The only other place I could see is Carolina. I mean, they do need a quarterback, but are you going to put him and Sam Darnold on the same? I think it's more likely if they're going to do anything, the Panthers, it's going to be to draft a quarterback. I don't see them spending another, you know, 20-something million dollars to have him and Sam Darnold on the same team.
Sam Darnold, I mean, listen, I'm surprised Sam Darnold is even in the league. I don't care if they're paying him or not.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, I don't think there's anybody that wants to touch that kid.
Well, let me tell you something. Did you see your boy Ben McAdoo, former Giants head coach, is now the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, who came out this week and anointed Sam Darnold the starting quarterback this year, which turned into a whole thing. Did you see any of that?
Ben.
Yeah, that's stepping in a bucket of poop, as they say, Jeff. That's stepping in a bucket of poop.
God, I don't know what you're thinking there. Man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have much other choice right now. It's him and I think Kyle Wright is the backup quarterback. I mean, you don't even have Cam Newton on the team where you can at least say, oh, Cam might start. I mean, you have nobody but Sam Darnold. So unless you're going to pull the trigger on a Baker Mayfield or draft somebody, Sam Darnold is your starting quarterback this year.
Yeah, scary. If you're a Carolina fan, you may want to come back next year.
Hey, I can say, thank God Matt Rhule did not wind up as the Giants head coach, because if he put all his eggs in the Sam Darnold basket, it don't look good.
You know, I remember, Pepperidge Farm remembers, but I remember too. I remember last year saying, you know, like, this guy, no, he's not. And then what does he do? He goes out and he has a killer three games. And everybody's like,
yeah,
this kid just needed a change of scenery. Yeah, I'm like, nah, he's not done yet. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. And what happened? Bam. Sam never let me down. I told you that kid sucked for years.
Well, you obviously you were right. And Frank,
when your first pass in the NFL is a pick six and people remember that?
Yeah.
You
hard,
know
to
what I mean?
Hard to forget. Hard to forget.
That first game against Detroit,
yeah,
it was like, is Matt Patricia that bad? Or the Lions that bad? Or is it that Darnold is that good? It turns out that it certainly wasn't Darnold that good.
Yeah, it definitely
we
wasn't.
Knew that.
Yeah, Matt Patricia's back behind the headset over at New England now. Frank Catalano, you're going to be having a good time right now. The Rangers are getting the playoffs. One of the best teams playing hot hockey. Your Jets. Your Mets are killing it. And, your Broncos have Russell Wilson. And turn in Sunday, Saturday, we'll be breaking down the first round of the draft. So we'll be happy to hear what you think. Frankie, the Sunday Audible, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. But Frankie Catalano is going
to... question for Frank, if he's willing to answer it.
Yeah,
I see that he's got the little Met fan symbol there. I got to ask, because I like to ask Met fans, Frank, the Mets won the World Series yet. Are they world champions that it's still April? I mean, just a nice quick yes or no on that one, please. Most Met fans, saying that they're so great, this, that, and the other thing in the first couple weeks of the season. Just curious. No, they did not.
I'll say this. The one thing I got about the Mets so far this year, they just have a different feel. First off, I'm a big Buck Showalter fan. I believe Buck Showalter is a really good manager for about 3 years, and then he wears out his welcome and is gone. And most teams he's done.
Something in 3 years, you're probably not going to do anything either anyway. So what's the
difference? Well, here's what he built up the Yankees, leaves, they win the World Series. You know, he turned the Rangers around. He turned the Orioles around. He built the Diamondbacks. He leaves next year. They win the World Series. So, you know, Buck's a good manager. He wears on you. He's 65. I can see him doing this for 3 years. But I like the, I think they have a good pitching staff. Their bullpen's shaky, and they're getting hitting now. So listen, if you're a Met fan, enjoy it. Just be careful. We've seen these 11-3 Aprils turn into five and 20 Augusts. So be careful where it goes. But I think the Mets are a good team right now. Enjoy it.
Listen, and they very well should.
Yeah,
it's a shame that the Mets went through as many years as they did being a New York team.
Yeah,
that you would think that they would just being it's a New York team. Mm. That they would attract certain players to come to the team and play on the Mets. Ownership has been terrible
for
the last few years. Here's hoping for Met fans that the ownership that they have now is willing to spend a little money and invest into the team.
He's done a nice job. I think Epler's done it. I think they've done a nice job this year changing things. And I want to give the Mets credit. You know, the Tom Seaver statue, which is long overdue, should have been 15 years ago, should have been a centerpiece. You know, when Citi Field opened up, the Wilpons dropped the ball. I don't know what they were thinking about. Too much Brooklyn Dodger stuff. I listened. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I listened to the whole ceremony last week. I thought Steve Cohen and the Mets did a great job. I applaud them for getting the Seaver statue. I think the statue is really cool. So good for kudos.
What was the Brooklyn Dodger stuff?
Well, I think Fred Wilpon grew up a Brooklyn Dodger fan. Back in the 40s and 50s and all of that, and Citi Field had in the museums and stuff had a lot of Brooklyn Dodger memorabilia, and they kind of just dissed the Mets. And again, listen, I'm the first one to rag the Mets. They don't have a big history as far as homegrown players. I can count them on one hand the homegrown players who stick by the Mets for the entire career. And have done it. They're great players. Are usually other teams' players who play a lot of time here. So, but I think they did a great job with the Tom Seaver statue unveiling last week.
That's kind of sad to know, simply for a couple different reasons. One, the Brooklyn Dodgers did not turn around and leave the league and then come back 10 years later as the New York Mets,
right?
Because they had no home. So they went to fucking Los Angeles.
Yep.
So everything that you have that you're saying is Brooklyn Dodgers stuff is basically Los Angeles Dodgers memorabilia.
Sure.
And that's disgusting.
Sure.
I could see if you want to acknowledge, then what about the New York Giants? What about the Brooklyn Dodgers? What about a whole bunch of New York teams
sure.
that played in baseball throughout the years that, they aren't around anymore?
Well, this was basically, Jeff, it's just like this is just a rich guy who was a big fan of the Dodgers, and he had, instead of having a trophy room in his basement, he turned his stadium into a memorial to the Brooklyn Dodgers. And while, listen, I'll salute Jackie Robinson like the next guy, you're the Mets. It should have been, Tom Seaver. It should have been Mike Piazza. It should have been 86 Mets. It should have been, Gil Hodges and Rusty Staub and Lee Mazzilli. Those are the guys that built the Mets in the 70s and the 60s. That's where they should have been the focal point, not the Brooklyn Dodgers.
I hear you. There's enough hometown heroes on those Mets teams.
Yeah, again, yeah.
People used to look forward. What about Dave Kingman
when
he was on the Mets? People used to, love to have Dave Kingman come up. I mean, yeah, he sucked half the time, but he was a home run hitter, a power hitter.
Mm-hmm.
A couple pitches that they had throughout the years.
Sure.
Good. There's a lot of things that they could have had that they should have done, but they didn't.
There's stuff that they could have celebrated there's a lot of stuff they could have celebrated as Mets. This was the problem with the Wilpons. This is why they're no longer here. And if you're a Mets fan, you got to be happy. Steve Cohen is going to spend the money. The question is spending it wisely. Listen, I still think it banks on DeGrom getting back, pitching at least well in the second half of the season, and Scherzer at 37 years old not having his arm go dead in September and October again like last year. So I think that's it's important. But I Bassett, not a great start today, but Bassett's good. They've got pitching, they've got good hitting. We'll see. If I was a Met fan, I'd be happy to, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'll
have to wait and see.
Yep. Again, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff. I'm Tom, and we're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. And we're trying to bring you some of the biggest news around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And join us Saturday morning for a special edition of the Sunday Audible, where we break down the NFL draft, which we will do right here next Thursday night, like we do every year. And July 28th will be our 550th episode of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. I got a feeling we're going to do something special. I don't know if we're going to do anything outdoors or we'll just have a special show here. That would be my suggestion. We'll do something where we'll try to bring in a bunch of old guests and maybe get our old producers to show up and call in and kind of celebrate 550 shows over the course of 8 years. So let's see how that works out. But we'll stick around for more on that one. Jeff, let's see, where are we going to next? Talked about the Mets. Give me a minute on the Yankees here. You know, there was a play today, Jeff. I don't know how, I know you don't follow out of baseball, but Miguel Cabrera, probably the next future Hall of Famer, had a chance today for 3,000 hits against the Yankees. Okay. So I believe it was the eighth inning. The Yankees are down a run. Cabrera comes up. I think it's either second and third or first and third. Anyway, the Yankees decide to walk him and force the next guy to get a hit to beat them because you don't want the better hit of it. So everybody that I could see on internet, a lot of people were up in arms that the Yankees are classless. They should have faced him, give him the opportunity. And here's what I say, Jeff, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Miguel Cabrera does not play for the New York Yankees. I don't care as a Yankee fan whether he gets 3,000 hits or not. I'm happy if he does. I think it's great for the sport. The bottom line is I want my team to win, and I don't want my manager managing the game to give an opportunity for another team to have their best hitter beat us, regardless of whether it's 3,000 hits or 4,000 hits. So I applaud Aaron Boone, and I say it's exactly the way you should have managed the game. And if Miguel Cabrera – now, if this was the last bat of the season and he was retiring, okay, I understand it, but I want my manager winning games, Jeff.
You know, listen, sometimes it's not always a bad thing to let the guy get a record, whether it's a home run or you know, a 3,000 hit.
Because sure.
Like you said, maybe he doesn't play again or whatever. I don't know what the history is between the Yankees and him.
No history.
They had a long history. He hated history.
No, not at all. Not at all.
you know, listen, would it have hurt? It doesn't matter to me either way. Like you said, honestly, I couldn't care less if he gets it or not.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do, not face him? If it's are they playing any more games this weekend with against the
No, Titans? this was the getaway game. This is their third game, so they're done. I guess they played their series in Detroit. At some point this year, they'll play them at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, not for nothing, he did have three other at bats in the game.
That's correct. That's correct.
So it wasn't like they put him up as a pinch hitter and they're like, all right, walk him. You know.
Yeah.
He needed the fourth hit of the day, and
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you're right. Favre did give him up at the sack. He'll say he didn't, but we all know there was Favre laughing his ass off as he's getting sacked by Frank.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit of a different game.
But I get Frankie's point. I get Frankie's point. But that wasn't to win. But if Favre had the opportunity and would needed to win the game, he would never have given Strahan the sack. And I'm the first one to admit he gave Strahan the sack. But there's no way in the world if Favre was playing to win the game. He would never have done it. Game was in hand. They were going to win it, and he made sure that his friend got the sack.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, so I wish Miguel Cabrera – listen, you know what? Cabrera had three hits last night, got to within one, came up for a fourth at bat, and they pitched to him. They could have easily walked him, threw around him, whatever. They pitched to him. I think he struck out, and he had an opportunity to get 3,000 hits last night. So, and he had three opportunities today before the last at bat, and he didn't get there. So, you know what? Shame on him.
The season is young. He'll have it probably by Sunday.
100%. If he doesn't have it tomorrow, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. So, you know, listen, if you want him to get it, if you're his team, how about this? If you're his team, bat him first.
Yeah, there you go. You're not worried about it.
Way maybe he gets the extra bat.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, not a bad thought.
And not for nothing, you know, with everything that we're saying here, not for nothing. Don't you want your guys to earn it? Like, if you're a player, don't you want to earn it? You know,
yeah.
As far as like what Frank said about Favre and the sack. Now in today's, when you got the in the grass sack and you know, in the pocket sack, whatever it is that they call it,
yeah,
that, you know, as long as the defender is within 35 yards of the quarterback, if he comes out of the pocket, it's a sack. And if they didn't even make contact, they just give it to the closest player.
Yeah,
it counts as a sack.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, the baseball player, he's got to kind of earn it a little bit. He's got to hit the ball. He's got to get to the base. It's not a given. So if I was Cabrera, I would want to hit the ball too. I'd want to hit a nice solid hit, you know,
yeah.
To see if none of these, you know, oh, they didn't give him an error because it was his 3,000 hit and all this other shit.
Absolutely.
So, look, you're going to see my wife coming across the screen. Any second hand.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hey, to answer Frankie's question, Frank, Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole, here's my problem. He's still going to win games. He has a tough time dealing with the cold. My problem is he needs to be that guy who says, I don't care. I'm not coming off the mound. I'm going to go out there. I don't care if it's cold weather or not. And I'm going to deal with it. The weather's going to warm up. He'll get a grip on the ball. He'll be Garrett Cole. He'll win 15, 16, 17 games. The Yankees will win 92 games, make the playoffs. The problem I have is he's not Scherzer. Scherzer went out the other night and said, I got to go out and throw 7 innings of baseball, and I'm going to find a way to stay out there, and I'm going to find a way to do it. And he did. Not with his best stuff, and he still pitched seven runs, one hit, no runs. I think it was a seven innings, one run. And that's the problem with Garrett Cole. He's not that guy. He's paid like a number one, but his mentality is a number two or three. And that's the problem I have with Garrett Cole. You know what? You can go out there and be bad. Just get out there and do your job and throw 70, 80, 90 pitches every night. And that's the problem I have with Garrett Cole. Oh, boy. What's with the lid?
Just showing you, man.
Oh, boy.
Just showing you what it's all about.
Yeah, I know what it's all about.
You're
so, yeah.
Talking about baseball, that season's almost over. Nobody even cares.
Yeah, one last thing on baseball before we get off that topic. I hear a lot of guys bashing the Yankees, and here's my problem with it. Yes, the Yankees' offense is putrid, 100%, but not for nothing. You know what? I listened to my dad, a whole bunch of people before the season bash the Yankees. Oh, their pitching staff is bad. They should have got a pitcher. You know, that bullpen is lights out. The Yankee, other than Cole, Montgomery, Seviano, Cortez, you know, those guys have been really good, and that's a good pitching staff. And you know what? Maybe this team isn't the Bronx Bombers anymore. Maybe they're going to go out there and win with pitching, a little bit of hitting, and defense, which they played. And everybody blasted this kid kind of Falefa. He's been really good of late. I think he's 9 of 17. I don't know what he did today. With a bunch of hits, a bunch of extra base hits, and playing solid defense. So maybe Yankee fans have to just come off the box and say, we're not going to beat everybody 12-5. Maybe we're going to go out there and win a bunch of 4-3 and 5-3 games when the bats come around a little bit and just beat everybody with this. So, you know, this is just a different Yankee team. You know, guys have to just accept it. Maybe we're not going to bludgeon people to death every game. And I'll be honest with you, I'd be happy to win it that way because it'd be better off in the playoffs. So that's my Yankee stuff for tonight. I know Jeff is eager to get on to.
Jeff's as bored as a motherfucker can be talking baseball.
All right, you know what? Let's have a little fun. All right, since I bored you to death.
About time.
Let's get to our Mount Rushmore of WWF jobbers.
Okay.
All right. So I found this online, and we always do like who's our favorite wrestlers of all time and most underrated wrestlers. We never talk about the jobber. We never spend time talking about the guy who took all those falls. You know, the Frankie Williams who got abused on Piper's Pit. You know, got his hair cut off, or you know. Yeah, there you go, to Barry Horowitz's of the world. So I thought we'd celebrate the jobber tonight. The guy who did all the hard work, so that way our idols, our heroes can look great. So Hulk Hogan could drop the leg, you know, or Roddy Piper could cut their hair off and have some fun. I want to celebrate the jobber, Jeff. So I came up with my top four jobbers from the WWF era.
WWF.
Not WWE. WWF. So, Jeff, okay. I know you did too. Would you like to go first, or would you like to hear mine?
Well, I think we should go back and forth a little bit.
Okay, so let's see.
Fuck you, piece of shit. You got me on that one. I'm like, what the fuck?
All right, so I'm going to give you my number four jobber of all time. How's that?
Okay.
Let's see if he's on. Maybe he made your list, maybe he didn't. Just because of his name, always loved this guy. Salvatore Bellolomo is my number four jobber of all time. A fun guy to watch. Always looked like he was part-time in the butcher shop, you know, making sausage.
Part-time in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Full-time in the butcher shop.
Yeah. All right. You know, Vince would call up and say, put the apron down, get down to the ring tonight, I need you. Salvatore Bellolomo was one of my favorites to watch get his ass kicked, Jeff. So my number four jobber, Salvatore Bellolomo.
Okay, my number four.
Yep.
Would be Rudy Diamond.
Rudy Diamond, wow.
Rudy Diamond used to come out,
uh-huh.
Used to be semi-competitive,
uh-huh.
And then he would just get obliterated. There'd be nothing left. And I remember he always came out, and he was always wrestling. And then one day he was wrestling against Paul Orndorff. And Rudy Diamond was roughly 1/16th the size of Paul Orndorff.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, he was wrestling with no shoes on. He was barefoot. Paul Orndorff, I don't even think the guy broke a sweat. And I would swear that it was a real beating that he gave him, man. The guy fucking kicked the shit out of him. It was pretty sick. Pretty sick. And, I remember Rudy Diamond a couple times. It looked like he had a chance. He was going to win, but he just got his ass handed to him every time.
Well, listen.
Look at him.
Jeff, you asked for Rudy Diamond. You get Rudy Diamond on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. So, yeah.
He's not a, don't get me wrong, I'm not, no homo here, but he's not a bad-looking wrestler. He's got a build.
Yep.
A little light, yeah. A little tall. He's got his shoes and socks on today.
Yep.
You know, he's a little lanky. I mean, he's about to go up against the Samoan and get fucking...
I would tell you, though, the trunks were a little tight, Jeff. A little extra tight, the trunks on Rudy Diamond.
Well, it was the 80s, Tom.
I'm just saying. Rudy basically is up there basically naked.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the trunks are a little high up in the back, too. You know, not good.
All right, well, I will try to do my best to share in any wrestlers that we pick up here. So for now, that was Jeff's number four is Rudy Diamond. I had Salvatore Bellolomo. Jeff, my number three is a guy that I remember as a kid always on Saturday morning wrestling. Always the guy, one of those guys that, you know, he would be up for a half of the match, and then all of a sudden at the end, he would pop up. And he would wind up losing the match, and I'm going to share him in a second. I'm going to, but you know, it was Johnny Rods, right? And there was one other guy with Johnny Rods all the time, Jeff. And let's see if I can share that in for you. Half a second for my man Jeff. And come on. Give me half a second, Jeff. All right, I don't need that guy. Hold on a second. Come on. A little further. There it is. Okay. So let's hit the button and share in my number three guy. Let's see if you'll see him in a second. There he is, Jeff. Jose Estrada.
Okay, I remember him.
Jose Estrada, Johnny Rods.
Russell Air.
He is wrestling. I'm not even sure who's wrestling here. Oh, Outback Jack versus Jose Estrada.
Okay, I remember him.
Yeah, Jose Estrada would be winning for three quarters. Also, he'd take a thumb to the eye, and he was done for the match. It was It was like giving Superman kryptonite. A thumb to the eye, and Jose Estrada was done.
Things look like they're going sour rather quickly for Mr. Estrada right now.
I'm telling you. He just takes over. He'll be in control for about 10 minutes, and then at the 10-minute and 5-second mark, Outback Jack will thumb him in the eye, could put him in the small package, and Jose. You know, one day I was driving with my parents on the Bell Parkway, and
I want to just real quick, I just want to note how much bigger Jose Estrada's ring attire is compared to Rudy Diamond.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. So
Rudy Diamond looked like he was wrestling in a thong.
Like he was holding Jake the Snake's snake in his pants. So that's my number three guy, Jeff, is one and only Jose Estrada. So I'm turn it over to you. You can now pick your number three wrestler, and let's see if I can get him up on the screen quick enough this time.
Okay. I would go with my number three wrestler is a pretty well-known jobber for his time.
Go ahead.
And beyond, and he's still involved in the WWE today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that would be the Brooklyn Brawler, Steve Lombardi.
Wow, look at that.
Okay, he is known behind the scenes as a developer of talent for the WWE. He's been doing things for the WWE for a very long time. And he was known in that role as a jobber, one of the first jobbers, I believe, you know, like big, well-known jobbers. And well, this is relatively new stuff about him, but
yeah.
He used to come out with the Yankee hat on, the Yankee jersey ripped with the cigar, and he didn't last very long.
Nope.
I think he even had a brief run, a successful run. He looked like a retarded cousin there.
He can look like he can be at one of our family reunions without a doubt.
Yeah, probably hanging with me near the keg.
Yeah, probably right. Wondering what time the party was over so he can go home and how much money to take out of the envelope.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Brawler, that's a good one. I'll put that one up there with you. That's a good one. It's a very good one. I got a feeling both of our number one jobbers are going to be the same. I'm betting on it. It might be. All right, so I'm going to move on. Let's move on from the Brooklyn Brawler.
Wait a minute. You got to drop that so that...
What? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Everybody's going to see it.
Sorry. I can't let you see it. You're right. Okay, so my next wrestler, Jeff, and I'm going to get him up here right now, is one of my favorite wrestlers, known for wearing an object on the wrist, if so to speak. Let's see if I can get him up on the screen for our viewing pleasure. But one of those guys, another one of those guys who just came out, was winning for a good part of the match. More of a jobber on the bad guy side, Jeff. Now this guy you're going to see on the screen right now is not the guy, but you'll see him in a second. And Frank Catalano, you're on the money, I think, with this one. So let's see if I can get it over there quick enough for you guys. There he is, Iron Mike Sharp. You know, I never understood the wristlet, so to speak, or the leather on the wrist. But Iron Mike was one of those guys, you know, he just acted the part. He was kind of like half Brooklyn Brawler, half Don Morocco. Just one of those guys who was in the match every week and then at the end just took it tough.
Iron Mike Sharp looks like his neck it comes down in a triangle. Like it just gets wider, like the neck of one of those retarded kids.
Yeah.
He's on the side. And with the extra hair on it, like the same hair on his back and neck and the back of his head. And Iron Mike Sharp actually had a run. Bob Backlund.
Oh, really?
When he first came out, I remember that because the big thing with him was that he had a piece of metal in that band. Why has he got that thing? And then you look at the size. Look at the size of his trunks. Maybe bigger trunks than fucking Davey Boy Smith is wearing right now. And Davey Boy Smith has pants on.
True.
Okay? And he was loud. If you put the volume up, all you hear is nonstop from him.
Yes. Let's see if I can do that for you.
Steve, what you said earlier on. That these two really have no love for each other. That in fact, each man perhaps would do not only what they had to do to win the match, but perhaps injure the other.
Well, that could happen. Yeah, I'm going to say that. But it's a matter of money also, you know. There's a lot of money involved here. Look at the power of Davey.
I have to tell you, Davey Boy Smith's still my favorite wrestler of all time. Thank God.
Not for nothing. Davey Boy Smith was a little shaky with that move.
You think so?
Yeah. At first, yeah, he was a little shaky with that move. If I was Iron Mark, Iron Mike, not Iron Mark. If I was Iron Mike, I'd be like, let's do it, Bo. Let's do it.
Yeah. Can we get this over with? I'm hanging it upside down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
See, Iron Mike Sharp reminds me of a guy who's married to a woman who looks just like him. Iron Mike Sharp's wife looks just like him with the dress.
That's for a fact, or you just...
No, I just, that's just how he looks. Oh. He walks down the street and there's a woman walking like 5 feet behind him who looks just like him.
Yeah, and her name is like Gladys.
Yeah, yeah. That's who my Iron Mike Sharp is married to.
Gladys Bernblatt from fucking junior high school.
So I've got Salvatore Bellolomo, Jose Estrada, Iron Mike Sharp on my bottom three. Heading to number one on the Jobbers, Mount Rushmore of Jobbers for Jeff and myself. We're going to now take Jeff's number two jobber, and I got a feeling we're going to both have the same number one guy because I see the list heading that way.
We might, and I may change my list just so we don't have the same number one, but fuck it. I'm going to get this one in before you can do it. Okay? This is a guy that never had a chance. Was probably really not known as a jobber, but if you think about his role in the WWF,
uh-oh,
he basically was a jobber because he never was in any kind of big matches, really. He was never in any kind of championship matches, no matter what the title was. And I'm going to go with Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Wow, that is wild because you're right. Snuka really never held a major title that I can remember.
He never won. He never really won anything. Everyone, what was Jimmy Superfly Snuka? His big thing was jumping off the fucking top rope,
yeah,
or the top of the cage, okay? Always with the I love you, brother, and everything else. But he got his ass kicked all the time.
No, I listen, I'm with you. I got you. That's interesting. I never think of Superfly as a job. See, I thought you were going to go Chief J. Strongbow there.
Chief J. Strongbow had a title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and the other Strongbow, they were tag team champions.
Yeah. There's the Superfly himself, who we got to see live over at Wagner College back in the day. You, myself, my brother, I think it was my brother and your brother, but we got to see Superfly off the top rope in person. And it's amazing that you're using the Superfly as your number two because, again, most people thought of him as a lead guy, but you're right. He lost a lot of matches.
He lost probably just as many, if not more, than he actually won.
Correct. He was just he was kind of like that guy between Bob Backlund and Hulk Hogan.
Look at what just happened.
Yeah.
How he just lost the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. By knocking Morocco through the roof.
He bounced out of the ring.
Yeah.
He bounced, Morocco literally bounced out of the ring. And please take note how shitty that fucking steel cage is compared to some of the fucking things that we have today.
Oh, sure. But, you know, again, that's a very interesting take on yours. But you're right. Snuka lost a lot of matches. While he was a superstar, and again, he was that guy between Bob Backlund and Hulk Hogan who was probably the true superstar of his day. It's interesting that he didn't have more of a big run with the WWF at the time.
I agree. I mean, not for nothing, he had more success defending the heavyweight championship versus his girlfriend than he did ever coming close to winning it in the WWF.
Yeah, very true. All right, Jeff. Well, this gets us to our number one, and I'm going to say that we both have the same jobber, and he, of course, is the great one.
First of all, is that a wrestling ring, or is that the Temptations getting ready to hit the stage?
Well, you can tell by the hole in the man's back. We're looking at SD, Special Delivery Jones, my favorite, and I'm going to guess your favorite jobber of all time.
how could you say no? I mean, listen, SD Jones, this guy was in every match.
Absolutely.
He wrestled all the bad guys.
Absolutely.
Very rarely, if at all, did I ever remember seeing him wrestle a good guy.
Yeah, he was the good guy jobber. You know, he was the guy, you know, he had the heel jobbers, and then you had your other guys, and he was the guy who wrestled, you know, the Greg Hammer Valentines and the bad guys of wrestling. And there was another guy I almost went with, was another guy I nearly who went with Tony Garea. I'm not sure who that is. Let's see if I can. That just says wrestling jobber SD Jones 1986. So I have no idea who he's wrestling. It doesn't look from. It's not Ken Patera.
No, is it?
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question. It says RG. So I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
I'm not sure who that is, Jeff. So there's another SD Jones match against Mr. Fuji, I think that is.
Yes, that is Mr. Fuji.
Wow, if everybody forgets Mr. Fuji.
Meanwhile, SD Jones looks like an outlaw.
But look at the hole in the back, Jeff, right here. You see the hole? You see it? You look at the hole. Now,
He's coming back.
But SD's wearing proportionally covered shorts. He got the good tights.
Yeah, he definitely had his tailor made.
Yes.
You know, but SD Jones looks like an out of work truck driver.
Yes.
Who maybe had a slight drinking problem, maybe some gin. Yeah. You know, and more often than not would find himself in a lockup in the 120 because he beat his girlfriend up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that is like a cave on his back. That ain't no ingrown hair.
No. But here comes SD. He's coming back. He's coming back, Jeff. And then Fuji throws the stuff in the eye, and the next thing you know, that's it. It'll be lights out for SD. And SD's a southpaw. I didn't realize SD was a southpaw. Oh, there it is, Jeff.
There we go.
It's all over for SD right there.
All over.
Fuji's laughing, about to drop the hammer on him and call it a day. So, this
Mr. Fuji, I hated. What was Mr. Fuji's tag team partner? Do you remember?
Was it Mr. Sato?
Mr. Saito.
Mr. Saito, that's it. You're right.
And for some reason, I never remember seeing Mr. Saito as much as I remember seeing Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, they didn't last long as a tag team. I don't think.
Well, it's not. I only see Mr. Saito wrestle once or twice.
Okay.
Mr. Fuji became a mainstay.
Yes.
And I was like, whatever happened to Mr. Saito? How come they never show him? And Mr. Fuji, I hated Mr. Fuji.
Oh, absolutely. Who didn't?
Look, there's the SD. Man, just give me that bottle. Give me that bottle, man. Come on. Give me that bottle. Let me have just a little bit. Oh, I got to get it. I'm reaching for it.
I think SD hid the bottle in the open wound in his back.
Sure, there's a lot of things in the open wound in his back. I got white women back there.
Well, SD's making his run, Jeff.
It's the beginning of the end, Jeff.
It's the beginning of the end right
here. Yeah.
It's about to end.
This is some good stuff, man. Wow.
Yeah, you just love the graininess. I watched just this past weekend, I watched a Saturday Night Main Event where Hogan lost to Andre, gave him the belt, and then Andre handed the belt to Ted DiBiase.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I just watched that last weekend.
Look at this. Now Fuji probably going to whack him in the nuts or something, right?
We'll hang in there a minute, Jeff, and see how this goes. What do you think?
Man, please. We need to see this. There's SD Jones giving him the signal.
Fan favorite. He's about to put him away. Let's see. Maybe SD wins this one. Maybe we're wrong.
Nah, he don't win this one.
He's setting him up for the finish, Jeff. He's setting him up for the finish.
He didn't have a finish, Tom.
Well, he's
he
got
never
a,
got that
it's,
far.
It's that. It's true. Never had a chance to finish a match on his. That wasn't on his back. Oh, there it is, Jeff. It's over. And that quick, it's all over, Jeff, for SD. Had the whole thing. Let's go back and see if we can figure out what happened to SD. So, SD, hold on. We're going to go back. We went back a little too far. Let's see. So, now SD's got him in the center of the ring. Drops the elbow. Goes for the pin, Jeff. No pin.
That was hardly a kick out.
Wasn't a very good job. So, now SD's calling for the crowd, so you know what's coming, Jeff. He's got it working. He's spending too much time, a little headbutt action. He's giving Fuji the tap, letting him know this is it.
Yeah. Do what you
got to
do.
This is it. Here comes the second headbutt. He's headbutting him again. Got him. Here it is. This is the finish, Jeff. Let's see what happens. Goes for it again. Gives it to him again. It's almost over. He goes off the ropes. And Fuji throws him in the side suplex. And matches over. The end of SD Special Delivery Jones. And that's why SD is our favorite jobber of all time.
Now, let's give a couple good measure.
All right, good.
I see that Frank Catalano put Barry Horowitz.
Okay.
That was definitely one. Tony Garea, you had mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
Tony Garea was, I guess you could call a jobber.
Oh, absolutely.
There doesn't seem to be many, if at all, any jobbers in modern-day wrestling because...
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Integrated so many of the matches.
Well, it seems like all the top guys just come out every week and don't really fight each other but argue with each other and then have some sort of a unofficial battle that turns into something.
Yeah.
So you're right.
What about with tag team wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
You used to have the Hearts. They would come out and they would end up wrestling like the Moondogs. Those were jobbers. You got to figure. You got to
sure.
put them down as jobbers.
Absolutely.
The Bushwhackers were probably known as jobbers in their day.
I would say, yeah. Guys who weren't really title holders, I would agree with you. They were kind of half jobbers.
You know, we could go. This could go one subject into another. You know, like Greg the Hammer Valentine, Don Morocco. These are guys that never went after the heavyweight championship
mm-hmm.
that I remember over all the years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Barry Horowitz, man. Wow. Unsung hero with the WWE. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let's see. Hold on a second. There he is. Barry Horowitz for you, Jeff.
Yes, that is him.
Wow. Yeah. So, like I said, you know, there's a lot of guys, and Garea, see, now Garea's, I wanted to call him a jobber, but Garea actually held the tag team title for a while with Zbyszko. That was the late 70s.
Yeah, and then later on in his career,
mm-hmm.
at best, he was a jobber at best.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, that's a guy who lived in the Southeast Projects.
Yes.
Tony Garea, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he was going out with a girl's mother.
Oh, really?
The girl. And I remember her telling us, oh, yeah, my mom went out with Tony Garea. We're like, no way, your mom went out with Tony Garea and shit. And yeah, she was like, yeah, you know, he was a nice guy, and you know, unfortunately, we never got to meet him. But.
Wow, that would have impressed us back in the day. That's for sure. If we got to meet Tony Garea.
You know, the best part about it is just because of lack of phones and cameras,
uh-huh.
nobody would have believed it. They would have
very true, them. Very true. Well, listen, we went to go see wrestling on Staten Island. We have no pictures other than what's in our brain. You know, nowadays, if we had gone to that, forget it.
Back then, it was a different story. Everybody knew we went. And the one guy that I remember that we saw back then was Ivan Koloff.
Wow, yes.
Ivan Koloff, I remember. Hansen.
Was it the Russian? Was his nickname the Russian Bear?
That was his nickname, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think when we were wrestling, I don't think he was known as the Russian Bear back then.
I don't know. Good question.
You know?
Okay.
I just remember him being pretty big and pretty brutal, pretty mean.
Hmm.
You know?
The Russian Bear, Ivan Koloff. Oh my God! What? Listen, I catch a lot. I'm on a lot of these wrestling things, and I get these things all the time. Top Mount Rushmore of tag teams and icons and you know managers. But I saw jobs. I said, you know, we never really, you know, we goof around about SD Jones, but we never really we never celebrate the jobber. So I thought it was time for you and I to celebrate the jobbers.
And I'm glad we did. I'm glad we did.
And we'll do more during the year. But so let's. Anything else you want to finish with that one, Jeff? You think we've exhausted this one for now?
I think we've done good.
Okay. Now I want to have some fun, Jeff. And I got 1, 2, 3. I got 4 videos.
Oh boy. Okay.
And I'm gonna try to give you decent hints so you can guess who these people are. Because I will tell you of the 4, one you may get easily.
Okay.
Because I think this is iconic, an iconic moment that they made this guy into a singer, but I don't want to give too much away.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So I'm going to give you some hints, maybe 1 or 2 per. I will play you the songs. And then, of course, you can decide for who it is that you who this might be. So let me bring up the video. Let me share it without you seeing it. Let's see if I can hold on. Let me do one other video to make sure I got it right. Share the screen. Bop, bop, bop. That's this one right here. Share it. Okay. Nope. See, that's playing. So thank God I didn't do that. Why is it doing that? Okay.
Well, look, you know what? What? Go ahead. I'm not going to look. I'll be honest.
No, I know you will. Okay, so let me go back to my thing here. Watch later. Give me 1 second. Okay, don't look. Let me get it up on the screen. Okay, can you hear this right now playing? I will wait. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this person is definitely not known for their vocals. You can't see anything, Jeff. You can look at the screen. So okay. So this person is definitely not known for their singing ability. She is definitely a video. She definitely is a star of a video. Very famous for, I'm not sure why.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm gonna let this play. If you need another hint along the way, I may be able to give you one, but, listen to this voice and let me know if you can figure out who this is. Any idea who that female singer is?
I feel as though that I should have an idea of who it is.
You definitely know the person. You'll definitely know who it is.
An 80s star?
No. Current. Very, very current.
Current?
Yes. From a very famous family.
Not Jennifer Lopez, right?
No. Jennifer Lopez is technically a singer. This person is not known for any singing ability, and probably right from listening to it.
Kim Kardashian?
Jeff, you are correct. You have nailed it down. This is Kim Kardashian. Now, that should have hinted it, because Kim Kardashian never worked a day in her life, other than maybe her sex video. So
she didn't work that on that one either.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Jeff, you got the first one. That is Kim Kardashian singing Jam, Turn It Up, which I had never heard of, but what the hell.
Sounds like one of those killer classics.
It was a killer classic, Jeff. Yes, this will be played for decades. They will teach this in school. It was so huge. All right, we have our second video coming. Let me cue it up here. Let's see. Share screen. Blah, blah, blah. Don't look yet, Jeff. I need you to turn, avert your eyes to make sure I get this off screen. Okay, now you can look. You can now look. I will play the video. This is an actor, I'd say popular in the 60s. He did actually two shows, one kind of based in a Western and another futuristic.
Warren Green.
Wow, look at you. You didn't hear the voice. Well, you get to listen to Warren Green now, Jeff.
He lay face down on the desert sand, clutching a six-gun in his hand. Shot from behind, I thought he was dead, for under his heart was an ounce of lead. But a spark still burned, so I used my knife, and late that night, I saved the life.
Would you have gotten that without the hints? I think his voice is unmistakable.
I might have. It sounds some of the worst music and vocals that I've ever heard in my life. Not the style of vocals, whoever wrote the song.
This was a big country hit. Hold on, I gotta play you more.
Ringo. I nursed him till the danger passed. The days went by, he mended fast. And then from dawn till setting sun, he practiced with that deadly gun. And hour on hour, I watched in awe. No human being.
Could we say this might be from the first rap song of all time?
Yeah, I guess you could.
There's a lot of rhyming in it.
I'm not going to argue the fact.
So that was Long Green singing Ringo. I don't know why, if where I found this, but I found this thing.
Definitely got some movement behind it, without a doubt.
I got to ask, like, do you think Lauren Green sat there afterwards and went, that was really good, man. That was good. That was good. Do you think Lauren pulled out?
I don't understand, but, you know, hey, listen, it is what it is.
All right, so let's move on. We've done two. You nailed two. Jeff, you're on fire this week. Jeff, I need you to please avert your eyes as I set up the next vid, because there's a little bit, I have to fast forward this a little bit. Let's share this in. Share that. Let's get it off the screen. Now I got to get it into the vocals part, because you'll know, Jeff, this is one of the biggest movie stars, TV stars of the 70s. You can look now, you're good. Not known as a singer, but probably, I can't. This is one of the biggest stars of the 70s, continues to act today. And this is probably one of the douchiest moments in all of TV history when I play you this song. You ready?
John Travolta, Let Her In?
Nope. Not bad. But no, close.
Desk clerk, he's dressed in black. Whoa! Yeah. I want to tell you that they've been there so long, they ain't never coming back. Whoa!
Jeff, you have to know who that is, Jeff, please. This is the easiest one of all of them.
I can't hear it.
All right, let's see if I get a little more volume up on this for you. Let's see if I can find some volume here somewhere. Let's see if that'll help you. All right, got a little more here. Let's see what we got.
Oh,
I feel so lonely,
baby.
Ah, my heart is an open book. It's a big
trash going through it. Woo! Knock yourself out, girl. Knock yourself out. Since I left my baby, I found a new place to dwell. It's down on the end of Lonely Street called Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh,
my heart is so lonely, baby. Oh, my heart is so lonely, baby.
Oh,
my heart is so lonely, baby.
Drum now, on the drums?
Yes. No guy can one of those three guys could play an instrument, and it didn't matter, Jeff.
Who was the bass player? Was it Potsy?
I don't think they had a bass player. Let's revisit that. Let's see.
I could die. Let's
say. We've got a drummer, a piano player, and a guitar player with a very noticeable bass line.
And we're Richie Cunningham playing a telly.
Yes.
Wow.
Just for the record, yeah. So I thought that would be the easiest one, huh?
If I had told you who I thought that was, you would never in a million years believe me.
Who'd you think it was?
I shouldn't say I know who it was, because I didn't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt as though you were playing me the song sung by a black guy that could not sing.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking black actors.
Uh-huh.
That were still around, and I just couldn't get any of them in my head. I'm like, who is a black actor in the 70s that's still around?
Happy Mother's Day.
Right.
Harry and David, we know that giving
all right,
is
about... I got a couple more if you're willing to hang in there, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, I got two more. This is going to be a tough one. This will not be an easy one. I got
to
get to a spot.
I'm going to turn around and
Give me, let's see something. Hold on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, avert your eyes for a second so I can share it.
Okay.
Share. Okay, let's get it back. Okay, Jeff, let's get you. You can start looking again. Let me get the volume up on this one. Back it up a little. All right, let me give you a little hint. Let's see. Movie star, 90s. Let's see. What's a good... did a couple of buddy movies. Kind of action flicky type of stuff.
That may be too much. Don't go too much.
There's the fire inside in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch, bringing me all the dark.
God, don't you love remind me all the sticky meals, thinking that we almost had it all.
Eddie Murphy?
No, that's a woman. And this is some song by Adele called "Rolling in the Deep." So this woman is there's a woman who is singing the Adele part, and our actor, this is the male part, is being sung by the guy I want you to guess.
But that, you know, the song is all her, Adele, right? There is no male part in this.
I got you. I have no idea. I'm just telling you that right now is a woman singing. The male version, the male voice you're hearing is the guy I'm asking you to pick on. So, okay, so hang on, try it again. Try to get him back.
There's the fire inside in my heart.
Is it Eddie Murphy?
It's not Eddie Murphy.
Like Eddie Murphy a little bit.
Think of Eddie Murphy making fun of another actor.
Oh, man. I don't know. I have no idea on this one, man. I have no idea. Oh, Jackie Chan.
Yes, Jackie Chan singing Adele's "Rolling in the Deep." I said, boy, am I reaching for
that?
I have no idea. There are websites that are that just spend their entire day finding these and playing this kind of stuff, and I just thought it was great. So,
what the fuck?
Yeah, just some interesting one. I got one more for you. This guy, let's see. This guy is thought of as one of the fastest humans of all time. I think he's one of the fastest humans ever. Let's see if I can find his. This one's a little tough.
Hold on, you're going to cover my eyes.
Yeah, cover your eyes, because I have to find his. Eddie Murphy parried him at some point. So I got to tell you that. Let me play. I got to play all this commercials. Eddie Murphy did a parody of him at some point in his life.
Oh boy!
but this is not the Eddie Murphy parody, so let me. Shit! What the hell happened? One second, I gotta go backwards. Okay, I'm gonna share it. Give me 1 second, and then you will have the opportunity. Not yet. Don't go nowhere. Stay there with you. Okay. Let's get it off the screen. Okay, Jeff, you can look.
No.
Jesse Owens?
No.
Asian Pope?
No, I would tell you this is the gayest video you will ever see of all time. He wears less material than Rudy Diamond during this. Definitely one of the fastest men of the 80s. Olympic gold medalist. That's all I can give you.
Bruce Jenner?
No. Definitely wrong color.
Wrong color.
Hold on. Human
can never break it up.
I still don't know who it is.
That's Carl Lewis.
Jesse Owens, like the 30s. Yes. That's who I was thinking of Carl Lewis. Okay. I just didn't know the name.
That is Carl Lewis. He is he did some other stuff. Let's see. He did a very bad rendition of the national anthem. I'll play that real quick.
Dirty Harry said in one of his movies that a man's got to know his limitations. Carl Lewis apparently didn't see the movie. If his rendition of the...
Y'all ready?
Here we go. I'm playing you this because it's creepy. It's...
Oh, say can you see, and the rock is this way.
Oof.
Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
That might be one of the worst renditions of the national anthem we'll ever hear in our lifetime.
Don't these people practice this before they go out there and try this?
I guess not. Maybe they grabbed them off the street before and said, we're desperate for somebody. Come on in. I have no idea.
I mean, man, that was worse than Roseanne.
Yeah, that was worse than Roseanne. So.
This guy was actually trying to be serious, but you know what? Give him credit.
Yep.
At least he owned the mistake.
Yep.
Even though it still sucks, but wow.
that was a little rough. I got two more things, Jeff, before I have to end the show tonight. One, USFL. I'm sure you didn't watch any of the USFL this weekend.
No, and you want to know something, Tom? I remember you sent the message about it, and I thought about it. And I was just like, you know what? I can't bring myself to put it on.
Well, I have to tell you. Now, I didn't watch much of the Sunday games. There was two Sunday games. The third Sunday game, I think, got rained out. And they played it Monday night. But the Saturday night game, it was heavy storms, thunderstorms, lightning. So the game got postponed and pushed to Monday. But the Saturday night game, which was the New Jersey Generals and the Birmingham Stallions, I think it is, was a really good football game, Jeff. I mean, solid football game from two teams that you could tell, you know, was still feeling it out and, you know, not great players. But it was good football. It wasn't, you know, no name recognition. You know, a couple guys you reckon remembered from college, but it was a good football game. I enjoyed it. I watched, I would say, 75% of it, including the end of the game where Birmingham, who couldn't score all day for the most part, drove down the field, scored, and won the game very late. But a good football game, and made me want to watch some more. And you know, this weekend I'll watch a little more football. It was. Again, some gimmicky stuff. Too many cameras, too many camera angles, drone cameras. It was too much. But the football game itself wasn't bad.
That's how they're trying to capture our audience. Trying to come up with all these gimmicks so that you'll come and then hopefully like it. But you want to know something? I read about some of the bigger players in the league.
Yep.
And I was just like, you know what? If this is not that it seems like that they're pushing them, because I haven't even seen much coverage. Media coverage about these.
No, Fox has got it all. Fox basically has all the games. Fox and NBC actually did the game, too.
I'm talking about in the paper. I read the paper every morning at work on the computer.
Right.
Because I'm looking for draft stuff and everything else. I didn't even see any articles about
these. Yeah, no, it was there. I don't, you know, it wasn't, the online stuff's not great, you know, doesn't carry everything. But there was some stuff there. But I read the regular paper and there was a good amount of stuff to read. I wouldn't say they overdid it. It was some blurbs and stuff, but, you know, it was good football. Again, you know, it's not one of those things where you go, all right, it's Saturday night, I got to make sure I watch the Generals play. But I was home. We had not much going on. My wife was half asleep on the couch, and I threw the game on, and I'm glad I did. It was good football. Next year, they're going to have a little bit of competition with the XFL kicking off, and supposedly the XFL is going to be paying some real money, and they're going to be very big competition next year. But, you know, kudos to the USFL. I thought they did a nice job. I thought the games were pretty competitive that I got to see. And I'll be back this weekend. I'll catch a little more.
See, this is what I don't understand is why doesn't the USFL try to play their league after the draft? After the draft. What they should do is the NFL waits too long. This is what I think that everybody should do.
Go ahead.
Maybe 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, start free agency.
Okay.
Move the draft up till March, not April. And then this year, where you could start a league like this in the end of April, beginning of May, and this will carry us through the summer to when the NFL starts. Because now, let's say you could get a guy from college that didn't get drafted, but yet he still wants to try to make it to the NFL.
Yeah.
Now he has a league to go in, a developmental league to go into and play. You know, now with the league has already started to play, all of these guys, they're all going to be trying to get into the NFL. And if they make it, well, they make it. If they don't make it, well, that's another story too. But they don't even have time to get into the USFL. I don't know when the XFL is going to start playing.
February, I think right after the Super Bowl next year. I believe it's February or early March. They kick off next year.
Yeah, I guess they don't want to cross paths into the NFL. But
No.
I think it's too soon after the NFL because people are going to still be talking about the Super Bowl. Are you really going to want to see something like that with players you don't know right after the Super Bowl?
I think people by the end of the Super Bowl have a little bit of weariness of the NFL. They're kind of like, it's all right, I need to get my weekends back. I need to kind of, you know, have a little bit of a life other than football. And I agree with you. I think waiting till, you know, April, May to get the league started is best. And then if it ends up, you know, they need to end in June or very early July and stay away from the NFL training camps because people won't pay attention.
It's just, at this point in time, the NFL is just too big.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The NFL laughs at these things.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
You know? But you know something? This would be the perfect, I mean, like, all right, this may sound sad or whatever to say, but like Dwayne Haskins. Unfortunately, the poor guy is dead. But a USFL, XFL would be a league that he should be going into,
100%.
Not the NFL. To see where maybe he gets a chance to resurrect his career again. Johnny Manziel, maybe him. Maybe even a guy like Baker Mayfield